have a digital camera, you might bring one, have one in your purse or anything. Honey, I think we left. Do you have yours, Danielle? We got to do this before we go. These kids are all so dressed up. I'd like to get the kids lined up here and get a picture of them. You got one, Brandy? Before we dismiss them to the back. And I've got to show off these pretty dresses and suits. Man, I see Oscar back there with a tie. And just come on up and let's line up here and we'll get a picture. Any adults want to get in on this, you guys can jump up here too if you want. But, man, yeah, we need to get some pictures here. Come on up, guys. Get some pictures. There's a couple of pretty girls back there. I'll never get order back after this. You know that. Get them squeezed in here. We can get everybody.
Squeeze in there. Where's that white coat, man? Can you get a picture of them here? Let's squeeze in here a little bit, guys. In here. Let's get you bigger guys get in right here. Let you get between these here. There you go. Get on in here, guys. Let's get the ugly preacher out of there. Some more here, yeah. Oscar's out of here. Yeah. Oscar went clean out the door there. We're catching. We got them all? Now, moms and dads, I want them all to stay nice and clean and neat like this to the end of the day, okay? Sure, that's going to happen. Let's dismiss all the young people, little ones and the babies to the youth building, and guys will need to go out the back way so we stay out of the mud and wet. Rest of us, adults, let's all stand, please. Everybody stand. We're trying to decide whether we're heading to Children's Church or not. There we go. All right. We getting them all? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles there, we're going to talk this morning about body by Jesus, all right? Body by Jesus. Y'all have heard of the workout program Body by Jake, right? And these different fitness programs that are all out there. We're going to talk this morning about having a body by Jesus, all right? So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35, if you would. We'll pray and get into the message this morning. The Bible says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Here's the question that's being asked and here's what we're addressing today. What will the resurrected body be like? How many of you have a loved one that is in the cemetery right now besides me? Raise your hand. So here's the question being asked. What kind of body will they have at the resurrection, okay? Verse 36 says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. This morning, what we're going to look at, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but what we're going to look at today is what will our resurrection bodies be like? It's a wonderful thing that Christ resurrected from the grave. It's even better that we have hope of resurrection one day. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we look at the title, Body by Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the folks that have come out this morning to celebrate your resurrection. And Father, I pray that you'll help me to say those things that would be pleasing to you. Help us as we look forward to this resurrected body that believers have promised. Father, if there's one here that has not received you as personal Savior, they will not receive this resurrection body spoken of. And so, Father, I pray that they understand that you love them, that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And, Lord, they simply need to trust him for their salvation. And I pray they make that decision. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This epitaph supposedly was found written on a tombstone, and it goes like this. Here lies the body of Mary Ann Brown. At death, she weighed 400 pounds. But now in sweet repose she rests, in peace and joy on Abram's breast. Well, a little boy come along and added a couple of lines of his own. Well, it may be sweet for Mary Ann, but it sounds awful tough on Abraham. Well, you know, we look at epitaphs and these things that are written on tombstones, and we think of, you know, anytime we have someone close that passes away, JR's on my mind this morning because, in fact, I saw him. I don't know if I told you guys that, but I actually saw him yesterday morning, and he must have passed away just a few minutes after that I had left. But, you know, when we think of our loved ones, we all want to see them again. Amen? We'd like to see our loved ones. I've got a grandfather in heaven. I've got a brother in heaven. And I'd like to see them again. And Easter Sunday reminds us that we have that hope of resurrection, that we will see them again. Jesus, and the fact that he resurrected, Jesus is the only religious leader who ever claimed to have risen from the grave. Did you know that? The Bible that you have in your hands or that are in the pews, this is the only holy book that teaches a resurrection. All other religions teach reincarnation or teach annihilation. Annihilation is just that the soul and the spirit, kind of like a dead animal on the side of the road. Once you die, that's the end of it. That's annihilation. The Bible is the only book that teaches a resurrection. And so what I wanted to share this morning for just a few minutes is the resurrection of the believer's body. What will your body be like? What will my body be like when we are resurrected when Jesus Christ returns? I want to notice some things here. If you look in your text that we read this morning, in verse 36, we see the requirement for resurrection. Did you know there's a requirement if you're going to be resurrected? Look at that verse, and here's what the Bible says. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. There's a song that goes like this. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. But the fact is, if you and I are going to be resurrected, a death has to take place. If you notice in that scripture, it says that which thou sowest must first die. Think of a seed. When you put a seed in the ground, when you plant your garden or plant your fields this year, that seed has to go into the ground, and that seed actually has to die before a sprout comes out of the ground, and then you have your corn or your wheat or beans or whatever it is. But the seed has to die. The same thing applies to the believer's body. We all are going to die. That's not happy news. That's not pleasant news. That's not something we like to think about. Resurrection Sunday, we like to think of life. But the fact is you are going to die, and I'm going to die, unless the Lord returns before that happens. And for a resurrection to take place, death first has to occur. Now listen, the same thing applies to being saved. The same thing applies to salvation. Here's the thing. Many people think they're going to heaven by their own goodness. I'll be good enough to go to heaven. If I'm good to my neighbor and I don't tell a lie and I give to the United Way and, you know, I help out my fellow man, surely that's going to qualify me for heaven. None of those things will qualify you for heaven. Won't qualify me. The only thing that makes a person worthy of going to heaven is dying to yourself and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to die to self. See, as long as you hold on to pride, did you know pride keeps more people out of heaven than anything? Some people think, well, alcohol keeps people out of heaven. Drugs keep people out of heaven. Murder keeps people out of heaven. No, P-R-I-D-E keeps more people out of heaven than anything because people don't want to swallow their pride and say, look, I can't do it on my own. I can only get to heaven by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when you die to yourself and you say, Lord, I can't get myself there. I can't do it. I'm not good enough to get there. Lord, I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to ask you and receive you into my heart. The minute you do that, you become a believer. You become a Christian. Jimmy Jones, I think of Jimmy every Easter Sunday, Jimmy, and I know you're not feeling well today. Keep Jimmy in your prayers. He's had a rough week. He's on a new medication. But man, 3 years ago on a Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, well, Jimmy Jones come out of that pew, and he come down this aisle, and he got saved. And that moment, Jimmy's spirit became alive. Did you know your spirit's dead right now? Every human being is made up of a body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit has to be quickened. Notice that verse. It says quickened. That word quickened means resurrected or made alive. Your spirit must be made alive
in order for you to go to heaven. And the only way it comes alive is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the first thing I want us to see, the requirement for resurrection. If you want to be resurrected, the first thing that happens is you got to die. The body dies, but also I'm talking spiritually. You must spiritually die to self in order to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. That's the requirement. Let's look at the next thing. We see the requirement for resurrection. And then in verse 37, we see the result of resurrection. Notice verse 37. Now, Paul's going to use an illustration here, an earthly illustration, to give the point. Verse 37, he says, "And that which thou sowest," think of sowing something into the ground, a gardener or a farmer, "that which thou sowest not that body that shall be." Now everybody look up here. When you put a piece of corn in the ground, that corn, piece of corn does not look like the corn stalk that comes up out of the ground, right? That's what he's saying. The part that you put into the ground that you sow does not look like this corn stalk that comes out of the ground. Now watch. "But bare grain," that's a bare piece of grain, that's a bare piece of corn, "it may chance of wheat or some other grain," you know, whether you're planting corn, planting beans, planting watermelon, whatever it is. Verse 38, "but God giveth it a body," that's what I want us to see there, "God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Now think of a seed and think of a plant. A seed in itself can't do a whole lot. But you put that seed, and even the most wise scientists can't really explain how it happens. You take a seed, you put it in some dirt, a little water, a little sunshine, and that thing comes up out of the ground. You tell me how that happens. The greatest botanist, biologist could not explain how that happens. It's God that makes that happen, amen? But that seed has to be put into the ground, and it dies, and it comes up, a bean sprout or corn sprout or what have you. That's what I want us to see there. Now, here are four qualities of the resurrected body. And this is the main part of the message. If you're taking notes, you might want to write these down. I'm going to tell you about the resurrected body. What will your body be like when you come up out of the ground one of these days? When you are resurrected, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns, what will your body be like? Well, first of all, our bodies will be indestructible. Your body will be indestructible. Look at verse 42, if you would, please. This verse says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead." We're talking about resurrection. "It is sown in corruption." That word "sown" means buried. When your body's put into the ground, J.R. Lance, his body is sown in corruption. He battled cancer and wasn't feeling well and had a lot of different things wrong with him. He was put in the ground in corruption. That'll happen to all of us. My brother John was 31 years old. John was paralyzed. He was put into the ground when he passed away in corruption. That old body was paralyzed. He couldn't move his arms, couldn't move his legs. Fingers were all like this. But notice it says in the verse, "It is raised in incorruption." It's raised in incorruption. Now here's the thing. Our body is corrupted. These bodies are corrupted. This week we've converted our garage to a family room at our house. We've been trying to get it ready this week. We've been out of school, and I painted the ceiling this week. Had to put on primer and then painted it, and it was all day like this, you know, with your shoulders up like this and neck. Now, I thought I was in pretty good shape till the next morning. And all of a sudden, man, the next morning, I couldn't hardly get out of bed. My shoulders hurt, my neck hurt, my back hurt from trying to paint that. Why? Because my body's corrupted. Listen, the older you get, don't you realize your body's corrupted? Man, the things that you used to be able to do, I get a kick out of people when it warms up. People start trying to get in shape. You'll start seeing people. We passed a guy yesterday, and I mean, I thought the guy was going to die. We were driving along 12th Street, and he decided he was going to jog, and he was about the kind of shape that I'm in. And he was jogging, and man, that sweat was pouring. And I was thinking about this. You ever go for a jog or a bike ride, and you go about a mile or two, and you feel real good, but then you got to turn around and get back to the house. And that's when it gets tough. That's when you start doing a whole lot of praying. Lord, please, just help me get back to the house. I'll never do this again. But boy, you think, man, I'm going to get in shape. By the way, the older you get, you have to work twice as hard just to maintain. You know, you don't work to get in shape. You just hope to kind of maintain at least what you have, because these bodies are corrupted. But one of these days, you and I are going to receive a body that is incorruptible. That means indestructible. You'll get a body that won't get sick. You'll have a body that won't get tired, that won't get out of shape. There's no sickness, no pain. But that's only for believers. Now, an unbeliever won't receive that kind of body. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But if you're a believer, that resurrected body will be an incorruptible body. It'll be a body that's indestructible. You think of Superman, you know, as being indestructible? That's what the resurrected body will be like. And then, number two, our bodies will be identifiable. Our bodies will be identifiable. If you look at verse 49 of our text, look there if you would please. The Bible says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy." The image of the earthy there is speaking of our physical earthly father, which is Adam. We are all descendants of the first man created, Adam. And then it says, "We shall also bear the image of the heavenly," speaking of Jesus Christ. Now here's the point. Everybody look. Your resurrected body is going to be similar to the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at his resurrected body, but let me share another scripture with you in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, "He shall change our vile body." These are vile bodies. We look good today. We've all cleaned up and dressed real good. But give us a day or two of no showers, no cleaning up, and these bodies are pretty vile. Amen? "Our vile body will be changed that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Your body, your resurrected body, will be like the body of the resurrected Christ. Now here's a question. What was the resurrected Christ's body like? What was Jesus' body like when he came up out of the grave? Well, we can see it in Luke chapter 24. So go with me, if you would, please. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. Remember that Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, okay? And on the third day, Christ arose from the grave. So that's what we're looking at in Luke chapter 24 and verse 36, the resurrected Christ. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, verse 24 and verse 36. The disciples are all together, and they're hiding out because the disciples think they may be getting crucified next. Remember, these guys all followed Jesus, and now he's ended up on a cross, and they're worried that they're going to be next. So they're all in this place together, and the Bible says in Luke 24, 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them." Let me ask you a question. Can a ghost or a spirit stand? So the first thing we see there is he stood, right? So we see a body here. "He stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit." Why did they think they had seen a spirit? Because the last time they saw Christ, he was on the cross. How many of you have seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ? Man, that if any movie depicts what Jesus Christ looked like, I mean, he was just a bloody mess. The last time they had seen him was on that cross, and now here he is standing in the midst of them, and they're scared. Hey, man, what is this? Who is this guy? And notice the next thing here in verse 38. The Bible says, "He said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." The first thing we see here is that Jesus had a real body. Your loved one, whether it's mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your child, your spouse, your loved one that has passed away is not floating around somewhere in your house. The Bible does not teach that your loved one that's gone to heaven is floating around as some kind of spirit or ghost or apparition. The Bible doesn't teach that. The resurrected body will be an actual physical body. Notice Jesus says, "Look at my hands and my feet." He says, "Handle me." That means I want you to feel the body I got. Your resurrected body will be a regular body, but it'll be a body that's not contaminated. The next thing we see here, I think this is one of the best parts. Look at the next thing there Jesus does in Luke 24, Jesus ate food. Amen, that's what I say. Jesus ate food. Look at verse 40. "When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them." Now here's the thing. Jesus' body was a real body, and Jesus actually ate food. But here's the thing. Right now, when we eat food, we eat for two main reasons. Number one, we eat for pleasure. We like to eat. Some of us really like to eat, right? We like to eat, and we eat for sustenance. We've got to have food. If we want to maintain our health and have energy, we have to eat food. The resurrected body can eat food, but it doesn't have to eat food to sustain itself. The resurrected body, Jesus ate food, but he didn't have to eat food to survive. He was showing them that he was an actual body that could take in food. I believe the resurrected body, and this is just my opinion, take it for what it's worth, but the resurrected body, I think, will taste foods like it was never tasted before. Whatever item it is that you like, you'll probably go home today and eat some glazed ham and mashed potatoes and green beans and Jack's over here licking his lips. Yeast rolls and rhubarb pie. That's good stuff right there. Peach pie, apple pie. All those things will even taste better. So you will actually be able to eat. Jesus ate food, but he didn't have to eat food to survive. He's showing here that it's an actual body that he has is what he's showing. Jesus' body also, here's the third thing, Jesus was recognizable. People recognized Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20, if you would, please. Some people ask the question, am I going to know anybody when I get to heaven? You know, one thing I'm worried about with heaven is when I get there, am I going to know anybody that's there? Or will anybody know me? Well, you know, think of it this way. Do you think you're going to be dumber in heaven than what you are on earth? No. We're going to know people. We'll know each other. We'll be recognizable, just as the disciples recognized Jesus Christ. John chapter 20. When Jesus first resurrected, I'm just going to give this to you. When Jesus first resurrected from the grave, his disciples didn't recognize him at first. Why do you think they didn't recognize him? They didn't recognize him because, number one, as I said a while ago, he was bloodied and beat up, and you know, now they're seeing him all cleaned up. Jesus also had what's called the Shekinah glory. Jesus was glorified. In fact, he told Mary, "Don't touch me because I haven't ascended to my Father yet." I'm going to give you something here that's a little bit deep, but hopefully it'll make sense. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the substitutionary sacrifice for your sins. See, you can't die for your sins. I can't die for my sins. Jesus died for our sins, and when Jesus died and rose and ascended to the Father, he became the sacrifice in heaven so that now you don't have to be the sacrifice. You just receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Trying not to get too technical or too deep, but basically that's what it is. And so Jesus, in his resurrection body, was ascending to the Father. But look at John chapter 20. Let me get there. John chapter 20 and verse 27. One of the apostles' name was Thomas. Thomas was the doubting disciple. The doubting Thomas is what he was called. And Thomas had said, "I'm not going to believe Jesus has risen until I actually handle his body and I see him." Well, the Bible says here in verse 27, "Then saith he," Jesus, "to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Thomas didn't believe it until Jesus actually said, "Hey, I want you to touch those nail prints. I want you to feel where the spear was stuck in my side." And suddenly Thomas said he realized who Christ was. He said, "My Lord and my God." Listen, Jesus Christ was recognizable. You're going to know your loved one. If you've got a loved one you're looking forward to, you're going to know them. They will be recognizable. You'll know them, and they will know you as soon as they see you. You're not going to be some kind of, you know, mysterious person. You will be you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes this, "For now we see through a glass darkly." Right now, we don't really know what heaven's like. It's kind of like peering out these windows. You can't really see out there. You know something's there. You just can't quite make it out. Paul says, "Well, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So here's the thing. Jesus says that you will know just as you're known right now, you will be known and you'll know other people in heaven. Your body will be recognizable. That's a wonderful thing about the resurrected body. Let me share one more thing with you and I'm done. Our bodies will be infinite. If you go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 44, we'll have an infinite body. Verse 44 says, "It is sown." That word sown means what? It means buried. It is buried a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now here's what it's teaching. Stay with me and we're just about done. Right now, if you're a believer, you are in a physical body, but you also are trying to live a spiritual life, right? We're in a physical body. We work in this physical world. We live in this physical world, and yet we're trying to live spiritually. Now, here's the thing. There's a battle constantly taking place. Sometimes this physical wins out over the spiritual. Sometimes, even though you're a Christian, sometimes, unless that's just me that's that way, I doubt it is, sometimes you say things that you shouldn't say. Who are you giving more power to, the flesh or the spirit, when you say things you shouldn't say? You're giving over to the flesh. But here we're trying to live in the spirit too. I'm trying to live in this physical world, and I'm trying to be spiritual. There's a battle going on. But whenever that resurrected body comes up, you are no longer giving in to the physical. Listen to that verse again. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. It's not talking about a spirit body that's floating around. We already talked about it's a real body. What it's saying is that you will no longer be fighting those fleshly desires, those earthly desires. No longer will you face temptations. No longer will you be trying to make decisions. Well, is this the right thing to do, or the wrong thing, or I have these bad feelings towards somebody, or things that I say. You won't fight that anymore. Your resurrected body will be an infinite body that no longer battles your flesh. That's one reason I'm ready to go to heaven. Because, man, this whole world is a battle. You try to live the Christian life and go out and work in the world and be around, some people, and you're trying to live a spiritual life, and other people are dragging you down. That's a tough thing. In our resurrected body, though, we won't be fighting that. Now, listen to this. If you look at verse 51, we see that resurrection will occur for some who'll never die. Some people are never going to die. Look at verse 51 of our text. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That word sleep there means die for the believer. All right? We shall not all believers are going to die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Here's what the Bible says. The very next thing on God's calendar is for Jesus Christ to come again. It could happen today. There's no other things that have to occur. The trumpet will sound. When that trumpet sounds, all believers who are in the grave are going to be resurrected into that new resurrection body we're talking about. And all those that are alive that are believers will also be caught up. There's going to be a great reunion one day. When this resurrection takes place, the believers who are alive, you're gonna be reunited with some other loved ones who are going to come out of the grave. That resurrection is going to be something else. That's going to be a wonderful reunion when that happens. And it could happen today. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to give you, and we're done. Everything I've shared with you this morning has to do with the resurrection body of the believer. But did you know there is also a resurrection for the unbelieving? There is a resurrection that's going to occur for the unsaved, but it doesn't happen at the same time. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Last scripture I'm going to give to you, and we're done. This is not a very good resurrection, but there will be more people, listen, there will be more people in this resurrection than the one I've been talking about. There will be more people, unbelievers, in the resurrection than there are believers. Because so many people think, if you ask the average person, why are you going to heaven? Well, first of all, if you say, do you think you're going to heaven? I shared this statistic last week. 119 out of 120 people say they're going to heaven. Most people think they're going. And then if you say, well, why do you think you're going? You know what most people will say? What will they say, Sherry? I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Why? Because I'm not as bad as Joe up the street, or I'm not as bad as so-and-so. They equate themselves with somebody else. That has nothing to do with it. Because really, who we're comparing to is God. God is holy, and compared to a holy and righteous God, we're nothing but filthy rags. But the unrighteous one day will face a resurrection. In Revelation chapter 20, we have a scene here. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Verse 12 says this. John is speaking, and he says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Everybody look, here's what's happening. This is at the very end of time. This is at the end of the tribulation period. And again, some of you may not have heard that before, but here's what's going to occur. Those that are in hell right now, If a person did not, if they died and did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in hell. That's not pleasant. That's not popular, but it's true. It's Bible truth. The Bible says in Luke 16 that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. That's where he was. The soul and spirit goes to hell as soon as that body dies. But one day, all people who are in hell are going to be resurrected. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to have to stand before God. They're going to be judged before God. Every person throughout eternity will be resurrected and brought up, and they'll have to face a holy God. The Bible says there, the sea gave up the dead. Those who are, you know, we think of someone, well, you know, how is someone going to be resurrected that maybe died at sea and all the fish and sharks have eaten their body? And how's that going to happen? I don't know, but the Bible says it's going to happen. And I believe what the Bible says. They're going to come up, and they're going to have to stand before God. Now watch, verse 14. Says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When a person receives Christ, your name gets written down in the book of life. January 1975, I was 4 years old. But at that time, I knew enough to know I was a sinner and I received Jesus as my Savior. At that time, Tim Reynolds was written in the book of life. It's been there ever since. There are no pencils with erasers in heaven. All right, God, when He writes that name down, it's there to stay. My name's written in that book of life. But if you die without knowing Jesus Christ, your name's not in there. And God is going to call you up and you're going to stand before God and God will have the proof right there. Oh, God, I did some good things in life. Lord, I was good to my neighbor. Doesn't that count for something? No. Well, your name's not written there, son. Well, God, you know, I didn't do anything bad. I didn't shoot anybody. I tried not to lie, and, you know, maybe I stole a couple things. But, Lord, surely I'll be there. God will say, no. No, your name's not there. And the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in that book of life was cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, that's something. I was watching a black preacher. He was preaching about heaven a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I don't want nothing to do with no lake of fire. And man, I said, amen, that's what I say. I don't want nothing to do with no lake of fire. I want you to think about this, and we're done. What if I'm right? You ever think about that? You know, some people say, you know, I'll take my chance. Okay, you take your chance. But if you're right and I'm wrong, what do I lose? I'm just going to die. You know, you got to die to prove it, right? I mean, so what if you're right? What if I'm right? What if there is a hell? What if there is a heaven? Which I believe there is. I would sure rather take my chances on that than to say, no, man, you know, I'm just going to wait it out. How long are you going to wait? You want to wait till next week? You want to wait till next month? You want to wait till next year? When are you going to do it? The Bible says that you're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I pray that everyone in here has received Christ. But if you haven't, I beg you as a preacher, get that settled. Listen, the Lord's coming back. He may come back today. But even if He doesn't come back for 50 years, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Are you ready for it? Is your name written in that book of life that we mentioned? Doesn't matter how many good deeds you've done. Is your name written in the book of life? If it is, you've got this resurrected body to look forward to. You've got this indestructible body. You've got all these wonderful things. But if it isn't, one day you'll stand before a righteous God and He'll say, look, your name's not there. And for eternity, you'll be in the lake of fire. I plead with you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we do thank You for this resurrected body. Lord, we not only thank You for resurrecting from the grave, but Lord, the fact that now we have the hope of resurrection, that we will be reunited with our loved ones, that we'll get to see those that have received You as their Savior, and Lord, we'll spend eternity with You. But Father, this other resurrection we spoke of where a person's name is not written in the book of life, Lord, I pray with all my heart if there's one here today that has not trusted You, maybe they're trusting themselves or maybe they think another time or I'll put it off or I'll think about it. Lord, I pray that You convict them and help them to realize that You died on the old rugged cross. Lord, that You love them, that there's no amount of goodness that can lead them to heaven. It's simply faith and trust in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that. But being Easter Sunday, I may not see you again. I may not see you in service again. And I feel responsible as a preacher to ask you this question. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Tim, I have not received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm just not certain about that. I've been thinking about it. I've been wondering about it, but I've not settled it. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand for me? I promise you, guarantee you, I won't call you out. I won't come back to you. But would you let me pray for you? Say, Pastor Tim, pray for me. I know I need to get it taken care of. I've been putting it off. I've been trying to think of another way. But I want to be prayed for. Anybody like that at all? Anybody on my right would raise your hand. Say, pray for me, Pastor Tim. Anybody on my left would raise your hand. Say, just pray for me. I may not come forward, but I want to be prayed for. I know I need to get it taken care of. Now, Father, you know the hearts and you know the hands. And I pray that Lord, this will get settled. If someone is not sure of their salvation, Lord, that again, we've made it clear to them that you love them. And Lord, they need to get saved. And I pray that they get that settled. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, let's all stand, please. We'll have a verse of invitation. What are you playing, Mallory? I Surrender All. We invite you to come. If you want to come for salvation or any other need, maybe you just want to come and pray. We do that during the invitation time as Mallory plays. We invite you to come. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Let's cut up and pray, brother. Yeah. All to Thee, my blood. Pray with Jimmy. You care? Let's pray with Jimmy. Just pray with Jimmy. Sing another verse. Here, pray with Jimmy. Just come up and pray with him. I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence take me now. Sing the chorus. I surrender Thank you so much for your attention this morning, and come back and see us. If you don't have a home church, we'd sure be glad to see you every Sunday at 11:15. Come and be with us. You won't meet friendlier, finer, and better looking folks. Amen, Brother Todd? So come out if you don't have a home church. We invite you. But thank you so much for listening. Very good crowd. I know it's a little bit stuffy in here. Looks like the kids have been turned loose, and we'll keep them as clean as we can, all right? Keep our brother Jimmy in prayer. We love brother Jimmy and sister Donna, and just keep him in prayers that his health will hold up and he'll get to feeling better. We love you, Jimmy, and you know that, okay? Come back and see us. Let's all bow our heads for prayer, and we'll be dismissed, all right? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Billy, pray and dismiss us in prayer, would you please?
Father, we wouldn't be able to leave this property, Father, if we stood up the burden of your name, Father, if you could speak into their hearts. Father, we just pray that you could speak with Pat and Vicki.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Anoint them throughout this week, Father. We know that, Father, it's just a struggle, Father. They're going through.
Amen.
Just anoint them in a special way. Father, we just pray that they would speak with each of their family represented here.
Amen.
Father, they may have a loved one that's passed on. Father, we pray that you would be with those that are still here. Father, having someone in their family that's not saved.
That's
Father,
right.
That you would give them the strength to get them to speak to them.
Amen.
Father, there's nothing to be saved.
That's right.
Father, we just thank you for all the good blessings that you give us. Give each and every one of us a good day, Father. Father, we just thank you that through all the storms that's been this week, it's been the one of our.
That's right. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for that. Father, we pray that you just watch over each and every one of us.
Amen. Shake a hand. You're dismissed.